We left off yesterday. We observed the fact that there are several chafatzim shel mitzvah that the halacha requires that they be one unit. And they cannot be broken up into different multiple units. He said, for example, there's a din of a get, shofar echa rachman of Hashem, shleish svarim. There's a din of shofar, shofar echa rachman of Allah, obeys the gimel shofaris. According to some tanoim, there's a din that the klaf, the parshas, the tefillin shel yad, has to be one unit, even that wasn't 100% clear. And we raised the question that what would the din be if I artificially connect the different chafotzim, I glue them together, sew them together, does that meet the halachic standards, the requirement of being a chepetz echad? So we had multiple different indications, contradictory indications on this. We had one sugya in Rosh Hashanah that seemed to indicate that nukh shofar, that's not good enough. Dibek shivei shofar is no good. On the other hand, we had a gemara in Menachos about the parish of tefillin, and maybe it would be good. And we said it's a big question. It's very unclear which is the rule, which is the exception to the rule. And of course, the most important enough to me would be the case of Gittin. Can you glue a piece of paper together and then subsequently write again on that? Would that be a violation of Shtayim Shlosh Svarim? At the end of the day, the rule wasn't sure. At the end of the day, the Ramah's not sure. At the end of the day, we're not sure. Let's fake the deed. No one's going to write again that way. We're not going to show what the answer to that question is. But that question of what role Devek has in terms of creating a Chepetz Echad, the next time someone's going to blow a shofar made up of 16 different pieces, give me a break. The next time someone's going to write a get on 60 pieces of paper, come on. But here's a real shayla. A real, real, real live shayla, which was potentially hundreds and thousands of dollars worth of a question. It's based on the Gemara, the 7th of the Maimon. Coming to Gemara Maseches Brachos, they're also talking about tefillin. And now we're talking about yesterday. Yesterday we were talking about the parshas of the Shalyad. Here we're changing to Lagamre. We're talking about the phrase Totofes Berenechos. So we mentioned yesterday that it is clear that the tefillin shorosh have to be totofos. They have to be four separate compartments. We cannot just take one box and stick four different parshas in. It has to be totofos b'dinecha. So comes the Gemara with the following havamin. The seventh Ram comes, third Rabbanan. The Brice says, Yapcho yichtve medal eris, v'nichi medal bat medal eris. If I want to be really, really makbid al totofos b'dinecha, I want to make sure that it's a lesson rabbi, I want to make sure that it's four separate and distinct batim. So I might think I should do as follows. I should take a piece of animal skin, a bias. We have bias. Halacha says it's got to be an animal skin, kosher animal skin. I should take a piece of cloth and write the following. To the end of that parasha, put it into one little box. You know the box? Another piece of parchment, right? I have four separate boxes. I put one over here, one over here, one over here, one over here. I got a lot of room here. I would think that's the ultimate tatovas b'dinach. It's four separate and distinct boxes. So have a meter, not bad. Yochel yichtevim. Tabad leimar. Uzikaren b'dinach. The Torah says in Parshas Bo, in one place the Torah does not describe tefillin as tatovas. There's one place that's described as zikaren b'dinach. Zikaren echad amayti lecha, v'lobeiz v'gibbol zichreinis. So if the Lashon Yochid or Zikar Menenecha teaches me that the Tefillin Shel Rosh have to be one unit. So now we have a little bit of a problem because there are contradictions the Torah is giving us. On the one hand, the Torah is telling us it's got to be Zikar Menenecha, which makes it sound like the Tefillin Shel Rosh is one unit. On the other hand, the word Tatofas, Lashon Rab, is clearly four units. So how do you miyash that? How do you make sense of that seeming contradiction, that glaring contradiction? Haketzan. So this is the official halachic answer. That they're definitely on four different parashiyos, no question about it. And they're definitely in four batim. Each box is a separate component, but it's be'or echad. It was made of one piece of animal skin, and therefore it has the best of both worlds. It's one piece of animal skin, therefore it's or echad, but it's also four separate and distinct batim. And therefore, we fulfill both parts of what the Torah is described. It is lizikar ben enecha, as well as lel tatafos ben enecha.
You make four separate boxes, and then you put it together.
Wait. So everything rests in the translation of this phrase. Kos for adal oiris, that I understand, four different pieces of parchment. Umanichan bedal et batim orechod. That's the answer. Dal et batim orechod. What does it mean? What do the words mean? Manichan bedal batim orechod. What does that mean? How do you do that? How do you take this glaring contradiction of Psukim, this resolution that they're both true, and how do you put that into practice? So if you look, both in Rashi and the Gemara Maseches Menachos, And the Rambam gives a chustfilin. So it's very, very clear how you do it. It's exactly what they taught you when you were in third grade. Everyone had that little, that sofer came, and he brought you, remember the thing that, the mold of a tefillin shel rosh, you know, that white thing that went up and down, four times, and he showed you. And inside here, you put each one, eventually you're going to work it together, make it square, and you put the bat. That's exactly what the Hashem described. You take one big piece of animal skin, it's got to be or echot, because it's the carbon in echot, and you mold it in such a way that it now has four different holes in it. So each parsha is in its own compartment. So that's the fulfillment of the Tatavis by Echlash and Rabim. But since it's one piece of animal skin to start with, that's the fulfillment of Uzi Karben and Echa. That's both the way Rashi and the Rabim. So from France to Cairo, everyone from Ashkenaz to Sfar, everyone's describing the Rishonim, the making of the Baal Shem Rosh. Very, very simple. It's simply one piece of physical animal skin that's molded into four separate distinct compartments. That is what the Gemara is talking about. Good. Very nice. I'll tell you a secret. Takes a lot of time to do that. It's a lot of work to do that. I'll tell you another secret. Generally speaking, what takes time, costs, money, it gets expensive. So somebody, somewhere, I don't know who, thought of a great idea. We could cost effective making a pair of tefillin. Somebody came up with the following phenomenal suggestion. Instead of taking one piece of animal skin and working on it and molding it and softening it and then hardening it, like that, oh, God, hours and hours of skilled labor, very, very simple. Why don't we take four pieces of animal skin, each one separate? If you have different animals, I don't care where it comes from. Take four pieces, totally and completely separate from one another, make each one into a little compartment, so much easier. Instead of 10 hours of molding, takes about a half hour of molding. Saved a tenth of the cost. I have these four different pieces. Wait a second. State the Hilchos Torah. Was it Karmen and Echa? It's got to be one unit. No big deal. What do you do? Take a steel glue. It's a little Elmer's glue. A little glue on the bottom of the four pieces. And now, poof. Was it Karmen and Echa? I can't separate them. They're stuck together. You know, like Elmer's glue, you want a little crazy glue, a little tighter, good, shine. Was it coming ever? You just cut off 10 hours of work, you just cut the price down by 10%, you're in business. So the question is, does that work or does it not work? So this was a major machlokes in Pesach. So this was a burning issue back in the hundreds of years.
What do we think to glue again? The four oros?
The four oros should be glued onto one base, in effect. So now they're all one unit. They're all connected. It's not four separate pieces. One here, one here, one here, one here. They're all glued onto one block. So whenever I pick up one, the other three go along. That's called the chaticha achas. So this was a raging machlokes back in the Gedalia for hundreds and hundreds of years. Does that work or not? So comes the Mishnah Berura in the ninth of the Maamar Kamos, and he raises a whole other issue that's about to collide with this machlokes. When you have a bias, let's say the bias of tefillin and shel rosh, you have to be very, very careful. Because there's a halacha b'Shem Sinai that tefillin have to be merubah, have to be square. Now true, there's a three rebbe chalikas of Yishayim on which part of the tefillin have to be square. There were some Yishayim that say only the base, we call the tisura, has to be square. Other Yishayim say the tefiras, the stitching, which is also halacha b'Shem Sinai, has to be square. And other Mishnah say the bias proper has to be square, and we pass it all three have to be square. That's halacha ma'aseh shulchan aruch. Everything's got to be square. So the tefillin have to be square. Tefillin shel yad, the bias, unless you drop your tefillin carelessly, you walk into a wall or something, the tefillin shel yad will pretty much remain square or li'olamot. I mean, they may come corners and get a shtickle rub if you're not careful with them, but by and large, nothing terrible is going to happen if you're fairly careful with the tefillin shel yad. Tefillin shel rosh, you may run into trouble, just simply based on time alone. Why? Because since the tefillin shel rosh, if you think about it, how are they made in the old style way? They're a mold of four things that were separated. And what makes them square? What do you have to do to them? You have to push them together, keep them really, really, really tight together to make that perfect square. Over time, you know, again, maybe it's time, maybe it's humidity, maybe it's, I don't know exactly what the facts are. It's going to slowly, 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 the four parts may start to drift apart. You ever see sometimes people's tefillin like that? You ever see an old tefillin sometimes? You look and you see, wait a second, there's like air. There's space in between the four the batim. Over time, the drifting of those batim may now affect an impact on the squareness, and it may no longer meet the halachic shear of rivuah. So this is an age-old problem. This problem didn't start yesterday. It probably started 3,000 plus years ago. How do you solve that problem? How do you do something that ensures that the batim won't drift apart? If you were a batim bacher and you want to sell the latest fad in tefillin, and you want to tell them, don't worry about it, it's never going to run, never have to be repaired. It's an unbelievable thing. Different things, you know, the world that we live in, you can't even be masking this. That I literally, just tell my wife this yesterday, I bought a shaver 25 years ago. I just threw it out now. It lasted for 25 years. Go buy anything today that's going to last for 25 years. Nothing. My brother, I got so far 3 shilas from people in the last 24 hours about their self-cleaning oven. They bought a self-cleaning oven, and they were told that if they self-clean it, it's going to break. I said, I understand. You bought a self-cleaning oven. So you go to a guy and you buy a car. I want a car to drive. I said, hey, no problem. I'll sell you the car, but if you drive it, it's going to break. I said, I didn't understand this. That's what they were telling me. They said 3 different people, Apishleish Eidim Yakum Dava, 3 unrelated people told me the same story in the last 24 hours. Okay, anyway. So here the Batamach is trying to say this great product. He's saying, I'm telling you, I'm buying your little yingle, your little grandson, a pair of tefillin. These tefillin will last till he's a Zaid himself. Why? What's the secret recipe? What keeps the batim together? It's a secret nobody knows about. What do you do? Glue inside. Put a little bit of Elmer's glue, put a couple of drops of glue inside, and that glue will stick together the pieces of the parts of the tefillin. Shol Meisra. So this was an age-old problem. Hundreds of years later, the batimach, the seifim, chap this idea, you put a little glue in between. Came the chay adam, Mr. Brook wants the chay adam, it has the following shiloh. Wait a second. These 2 new innovations in Uchas Tefillin. Number one, those batimachas that are now making batim in the cheaper, you know, time-efficient way, by not using an oryach and mamish, what are they using? They're using 4 separate klafim, and they're 4 separate pieces of leather, and they're sticking them onto a base and gluing them onto the base. They're doing that because it's cheaper. What else are these batimachers doing? They also know they're putting glue in between the 4 compartments to keep the rivua from getting ruined. So they're putting glue in 2 different places. They're putting glue to keep the 4 together as one unit, and they're putting glue in between things themselves to protect the rivua. Says the chayyadim, I have a big problem. What's the problem? Says the chayyadim, I think those tefillin are possible with the yevim and marushach. Why? Decide one thing, says the chayyadim. Dibuk chibur or dibuk eino chibur. Remember yesterday, Shia, Safik in the Yerzerua, Nuchas Gitter, Nuchas Shofar, Nuchas Parshas. Does devik, that is a halachi question. When the halacha requires a unit together to form one, you take multiple things to make them into one, does devik do the trick or does devik not do the trick? When the halacha speaks about chefetz echad, is that a natural chefetz echad or even multiple things can be artificially created to become a chefetz echad? That's a shadow deraisa. I don't know. I don't know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe. I don't know what the answer to that question is. I have stiras and gemaras. I'm not sure that was yesterday's shiur. But you decide, says the chayyadim. I'll even be willing to be makel. Either way. So tell me. If you're making tefillin this newfangled way of not really orechad, you're taking 4 pieces of separate animals, separate pieces of leather, and gluing them onto a base together, and you're calling that what? You're making believe that's called zikar ben enecha. So what stand are you taking on that shayla of devek chibur? What are you committing yourself to saying? Yes. You fulfilled zikar ben enecha by what? Through devek. You believe that devek is what? Is a chibur. Wait a second. If a devik is a chibur, like you just told me a minute ago, when you glue between the batim, what did you just do? What word did you just cut out of the chumash? Totafas. You don't have 4 separate batim anymore. You have 1 bias. Because if you really believe devik is a chibur, like you just told me 10 seconds ago, to save $1,000, you're turning around and saying the same story now, that devik is a chibur. Hey, wait a second. Devek, which is a chibor, which saved you a minute ago, is now going to destroy your tefillin, because that's the mud of shach. Because now you're saying, you're hoping and praying, devek is not a chibor. Because if it's a chibor, then you just ruin your dinner of tatofas. You cannot have your devek and eat it. You can't have your cake and eat it. You can't have both. To say that I'm going to glue the pieces onto the bottom, onto the base, based on devek chibor, and then turn around and put glue in between to protect the rivuah, says the chayyadam, that is almost as bad as doing what? It's an outright kind of, almost as bad, not quite, almost as bad as what? Davening ma'ariv at 7 o'clock, minchon Friday night. That's right. It's just almost as bad as that. It's a tie to the sash, right? Make up your mind. You think you can daven minchon to plag, or you can't have both. You have to learn in life, you can't have everything that you want. You can't have most of the things that you want, but you definitely can't have everything that you want. So that's the Mishnah Berurah. So you say the Mishnah Berurah. Himself. I left out the law of the Bir Halacha a few lines later in a bracket. It's a bracket in the Bir Halacha where he tries to bring a shtickle limit chos, why he could have milcha marv at the same time. I mean, why he could do the stunt with the glue at the same time. It's a big chiddush. Pashup Shaz, we may have a serious problem.
Yeah, I was just wondering then, if you use one piece of leather, are you not automatically running into the problem to the
No, that's exactly what you're supposed to do. That's when you mold it into four different ones, so that is the kiyum of
satafas. It's still one piece of leather.
But that's what the price is said to do. That's exactly what you're supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do. Okay? Okay, the good news is that almost any normal, regular pair of tefillin that's being produced today is made for Orech and Mamash. It's not being made. This cheaper way of making tefillin of four different pieces and gluing them on, this is old style. You know, you see the old tefillin from years ago, so some of them are like that. Any normal, regular bar mitzvah kid today is getting the higher quality tefillin, which are Orech and Mamash. The post can say it's really preferable not to have glue in between the batim, because why get involved in the shayla? If it's all in a kosher, because it's not in a marshach, but it's a sofik, why should we get involved? So some sofik put a drop of glue in it, so a little bit in the bottom, it's not really glued up. So there are different nuances, different batim, high quality, less quality batim. But the old style problem of having them fake miyarecha and then turning around and gluing them legame, which the Mishnah Berurah says is perhaps possible with the Evid, so that problem doesn't usually exist in our higher quality tefillin. So tefillin today, Baruch Hashem, are much higher quality. Tefillin today also, of course, much more expensive. That's why, because of higher quality. Okay, back to the story. That was just the shirayim of yesterday's shiur.
Had a minhag that started in Chayashah that they would do that?
It was cheap. That's why. So there was some posting who said it was okay. So Mishnah Berurah quotes such a svara. There are some who have such a limud chos there. Why they didn't like this, the chayyad was b'mar shach. Not everyone agreed it was possible. So we don't mean mutilaz. There were many fine Jews in Europe who were wearing these tefillin that the chayyadim weren't so excited about. The chayyadim, the Mishnah Berurah writes, v'lo k'mosh osim asofrim. He writes, there were sofrim who were doing it. The Mishnah Berurah knew that. Chayyadim knew there were sofrim who were doing it. So it was cheap. So I had a lot of things. Yeah, people cut corners and shmir some mitzvahs. So that's what happens. Okay.
The part that's telling you to do is kind of having it both ways, where it's orecha but also tefillah. So why can't it just be glue is orecha and also tefillah? I mean,
why can't glue do both? Right. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah tries to explain away in a bracket. What maybe you can have your cake and eat it. That the glue is enough to fulfill the din of Orechad, but it's not quite enough to be called a Dibur. To create Orechad, you don't need an absolute
Dibur. Really.
Yeah. So that's what Mishnah Berurah tries to do. And then he defers to Rashi and Rav. And he writes that Mishnah Berurah at the end says that if glue really works, Mishnah Berurah didn't like the glue altogether. He says, if the Risharim thought the glue worked, so then why does Rashi and the Rav describe making a mold? Rashi describes, how do you make tefillin shirot? The Rav writes, Ketzer Oisin, how do you do it? And the Risharim don't have the glue. The glue started hundreds of years later. So after the Rishonim, so the Mishnah Berurah writes that Stevens and Rishonim, the glue didn't sound like it should work. There's a tshuva in the Chassam Sofer where he writes about the glue and tefillin. He writes, quotes a pasuk. He says, "Omer ledevach lo tovu." What's the problem with that pasuk? The pasuk says Omel Adevik Tovu, but he said it's a play on the pasuk. Omel Adevik Tovu. He says no. What it really means is he has Omel Adevik Lo Tovu. It's a joke. You're trying to make a joke. Pressburg in the 1800s is a very, very sad place. They want to make things. Omel Adevik Tovu. Okay. All right. Okay. Back to this. That was a shirah. That was yesterday's shirah. So back to Atos. Back to Gittin and the Chaf of the base. How do we get onto this topic? What are we talking about? What are we talking about? Sefer Echad and Maiselach. It all came about Mamish Barush Derech Agav. You can't blame us. The Gemara did this one. The Gemara talked about the topic of Derech Agav. Why? This is a continuation of the last sugya of Harez Gita Fanir Shali. A guy gives a piece of paper to his wife and he says, I'm holding on to the paper. So the Gemara says, forget it. It's not going to work. It'll get it. Why? Oh, you see the promise. But Avri, according to Rashi, is not a crisis, according to the Rambam. The bottom line is it gets nowhere. So Rapapa had an interesting shayla. Boy, Rapapa, ben shit l'shibet tev tev l'mahu. The guy said, Mamash is outright meshuggah. He gives a get to his wife and he says, I'm giving you this get and you should own the paper under every one of the words, but I want to retain ownership on the blank spaces in between the words, in between the letters, in between the lines. I'm holding on to that paper. He refuses to let go of that paper. So Boy Rapapa, what's the din? Take it. It's a din deraisa. We have no idea what the din deraisa is. Is that called Nir Shaliyah not? On the one hand, the only part of the near that really matters, he's giving to her. On the other hand, and the rest of the nears is, unclear what the din should be taken. So the Gemara asked Kasha, what do you mean? The tape of the Sefer Echad Rachmana. If that's what's really happening, that he's holding on to part of it, so if you look at it conceptually again, nobody's actually taking a scissors and cutting and pasting this get together. But if you think about it, that's what's happening. He's giving her this little piece of paper with a letter on it, and this piece of paper, every spot in between is his. So that's tantamount, that's a halacha equivalent of giving her 1,000 pieces of paper. Sefer Echad Rachamanu. So he says, no, it's not a problem. You know why? Let's check at the Be'ura. And it was those three words that now set the stage for the second part of our study. Lotzrich at the Be'ura. Gemara answers that, no problem, everything is hunky-dory. Why? Because everything is Be'ura. What's made Be'ura? What are the words? What does Be'ura mean? So Tosus quotes from the Rivam what the simple reading of the word Be'ura means. Rashi said the same thing. Tosfos made a whole fuss out of it. Tosfos goes to the Rivam that the letters are touching each other. Other means, since the letters are touching each other, so if you take your scissors and cut, like if you were in nursery and you're trying to cut, usually in nursery when your kid goes to the nursery, so you get like report cards at the end of the year, so they tell you all the different skills that the child. So usually one of the things is how he holds the scissors, how he cuts. You know, he knows how to handle crayons, he knows how to cut the scissors, all the important skills in life. So here you guys can be really, really expert at this. In theory, you can cut around the get in such a way, it's going to look like one connected piece because the letters are touching. So even though you're going to shave away parts of the in-between, it's going to be one nice little dangling like decoration or something. So remember, you're doing your kids, right? Did you do this thing? I forgot what it's called. Like you cut around and you cut in the middle, you fold it over, then you open it up and it's half there, right? What else things called? Yeah, the snowflake things. Yeah. We did that also back in Riverdale. So that's what this get's going to look like. So there's no problem with the Be'ura. So the Rivam innocently makes the following observation. The Rivam says, you know, really, the letters are touching? If I remember correctly, there's a Gemara Menachas Avchav Test that says that letters in the Sefer Torah Tzvamuzuz cannot touch. That's a din called Mukav Gvil. So the Rivam says, that, see, from here, that din of Mukav Gvil doesn't apply to a get. That's all. Agamar is not talking about Mukav Gvil. Agamar is not even talking about Sefer Echad. Agamar is talking about Harez Gidech Venir Shali. We got so off the topic. Nope, what can you do? So because we got off the topic, and the Gemara asked the Kasha, and Rapapa had a funny Shaila, and the Gemara asked the Kasha of Sefer Echad, the Gemara gave a Teretz Amura, and you see from this sugya, says the Rivam, that Mukav Gvil doesn't disqualify by a get. So I state in the Rivam. The Ri says it's not a Raya. Amy can Raya. Because maybe you have the wrong taich in the word ma'ura. Ma'ura doesn't mean the lead is, the ink is mamish touching. Ma'ura means an invasion of airspace. Different letters have air, some letters don't. Yud doesn't have too much airspace to it. Other letters don't have any airspace, b'chlal. But certain letters have airspaces. Let's say, give me an example of a letter with an airspace to it.
Amen.
Ches is a good one. Tes is a good one. What? Hey, okay. Yeah, certain letters have that there's blank that's part of the letter proper in a sense. So says the Re, if So in order for the din of mukuf vil to kick in, the ink of one letter has to touch the ink of another letter. If ink of one letter is simply invading into the territory, the airspace of another letter, that's not called mukuf. That's not called the problem of mukuf vil. That's still considered to be mukuf vil. Every part of the os is mukuf vil. The fact that the airspace is invaded by another, that's not a problem, says the Rin. And that's what the Gemara is talking about here. So when you're sitting around in nursery and cutting this snowflake, be careful that you're not talking about the letters that Mamish touched. If the letters would be touched, it says, it could be the whole get is possible. It's Ken's side, we'll play devil's advocate. It could be that the get is possible with their eyes. It could be. We'll see in a minute, he's going to back out. It could be. But Agumar is not talking about that. Agumar is talking about invasion of airspaces. Didn't the Rivam realize that could be a dichoy of Israel? He didn't chop that? What do you think the Rivam held? So you mean he held that even going into airspace could be a problem?
Yeah.
Right. The Rivam probably held that way. There is a machlekes to be shown like that in Hilchos Sefer Torah about the Rivam was assuming the only time there's a mukuf vil issue is when black touches black. When black touches blank, so that's not a problem. The Rivam may very well have disagreed with that. It may have held that black touching blank is also a problem. That's why he couldn't conceive of a way to learn Agamar. The Rivam couldn't dream how you can get out of Agamar. Agamar is saying, no pun intended, but black on white, there's no din of psul mukuf vil in a get. So there may be another machlek is tucked in between the lines here. That's not really our sugya. But akoponim, the Rivam thought there's a gevaldik raya, the Rithor and Nishkin raya. But then the Rivam backpedals and says, you know, I don't think the Rivam's raya is right. But quite frankly, I don't even think you need a raya. What do you need a raya? It's muvan mi'elov. Of course, mukuf vil doesn't pass by yet. It's not even a shot. I don't need a raya for the Gemara. It's so obvious. Why? Because the Re goes on the offensive now. He says, why should mukuf vil pass by yet? For that matter, why does lack of mukuf vil pass every time to the mitzvahs? So all of a sudden, the Re causes us to go into a frenzy to try to figure out what's the mukor that you need mukuf vil by every time to the mitzvahs. Until you understand why you need it in those three cases, you cannot begin to figure out, to extrapolate, to get. We've said this a billion times. If you want to compare one din to another, you want to expand, extrapolate from A to B, you better understand A properly. How do you understand A properly? What's the best way to understand the nature of A? To understand the source. If you understand where something comes from, then you understand its essence. Okay, it's very, very important in life. If you want to understand, let's say, a person. So you have to understand where the person's coming from, what background they're coming from, where, what their family's like, what the house is like, where they went to school. You have to understand a little bit about the person. You can't just, you know, just say, I'm going to just focus in right now, just to hear it out, what's in front of my face. You have to have the background. You have to have this menani mili to understand the person. You want to understand anything. You want to understand a concept in Torah. So you can't say, I'm going to open up a dinner. I'm going to open a kitzur shulchan aruch state. You're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. Okay, let's move on. What does that mean? Where does that come from? How did Chazal figure that out? If you understand a din in its entirety, where it comes from, that's why the drushes are so, so, so important. That the Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebapeh are a perfect unit together. The Torah Shebichsav shows you all the Mekoros, and once you understand the Mekoros better, then you'll be able to understand what the nature of the din is. That's why the Gemara spent so much time on. Menoni Mili, one Tata says, this is the Mokha, one Tata says, that's the Mokha. Every once in a while, the Gemara will say, my Benayu. And what will the Gemara say? Once in a blue moon, the Gemara will say there's no nafkimi. It doesn't really matter what the mokar is. The nature of the din is the same. But more often than not, the Gemara will say, oh, my benayo, ikim benayo. If you learn enough of this, the din is azot. You learn enough from zot, then the din is azot. Sometimes the Gemara will say that one Tana learned it out from a pasuk, and one Tana said it's Allah Moshe Messina. Or one Tana says it's in their eyes, and one Tana says it's in their abonim. It's a different din. If something is made up by the Chachamim, it carries with it a whole different set of halachas. That if it's a din deraisa, and if it's halacha b'shem Sinai, it works in a different set of rules than if it's a pasuk in Chumash. So it's very, very important to understand the background. So here we have this din of kol osh eimuk efes kvil pasul. It's a Gemara in Menachas of Chavtes. We know it's true by Sevetot Mezuzos, and we have a question mark: does it spill over to Kitten or not? So the only way for us intelligently to answer that question is we have to understand, well, where does it come from, Sevetot? So Chazal is silent about it. There's nowhere, anywhere in Shas, do Chazal say, Minani Mili, and how do you know it always has to be mukuf vil? The Gemara says it's true, that's the din, that's the halacha, but no one doesn't want to tell us where it comes from. So the Re turns around to the Rivam and he says, why are we spending time in France, 800 years later, pimpling about whether it applies to Gittin or not? Let's go back to the basics. Find out why it exists in the first place. find the banana meal where it comes from, and then figure out should that din carry over, spill over that.
Why would it not be considered hookup meal if it was owned by the Baal? I mean, it still exists in this case. It's owned by the Baal.
No, no, not the owning the Baal. The letters of Ma'ura. The letters are touching. You are the Mechavin to the Rivash with the Ramal. Yeah, that's tomorrow shit. You gotta come back tomorrow. But I'm talking about letters that are touching. So the Reed turned around to the Rivav and said, don't waste that time. Give us a Mocha. You don't need a Mocha. It's Parshat. No? So what is a Mocha? You have just learned in Maseches Benachos. Right? You open up Benachos, Daf Chaf Tes. You came to NCS Y Kolos, so you learned Maseches Benachos, right? So we get to Daf Chaf Tes. And we're learning the sugya is about mukav gvil. Fairy shigamar, the chotessa, but now mukav gvil is a problem. Lack of mukav gvil is a problem, it's a tetra lemesis. But it never says where it comes from. Kol osha emukav is absurd. Where would you even guess? What pasuk in chumash would you even start with? Right? That would probably be the best place, the only place to start. There's only one pasuk, one word that describes anything to do with the halachas of ksivas, sevitar tol mezuzas. We spoke about this 100 times this year. That if you're learning yuchas gittin, so what word, if you want to know anything about the halachas that govern writing a get, which word do you look at? The chasav l'sevi krisus. If you're looking at sevitar tol mezuzas, which word do you look at? Chsavta mezuzas, sevitar tol mezuzas, even though we know that chsavta, according to the Tosh B'chsav, is only going on what? Mezuzas. But it's also referring back to the previous. Otherwise, how do you do kshat and also edach? The Torah says, take these words and tie them on your arm, put them on your head. How am I going to do that? What do I do exactly? So obviously, I have to write them. What am I going to do? Take the words. I take these. I close my eyes. The words. So obviously, I have to take the words literally, tangible, and put it on my arm and my head. So the only way to tangibly, in Olam Hazeh, to take a word and put it on my arm and my head is to write it down on something. So clearly, the word Chsavtam is referring back to its villain as well. What about Sefer Torah? So here the Gemara is silent. The Gemara never explains, how do you know that all the dinim of mezuzahs and tefillin spill over to Sefer Torah? It's not clear. Probably the answer is, because the Torah does speak about writing a Sefer Torah. Where does it say writing a Sefer Torah? Kislachem Seshir Azels, or Chosav a Sefer Torah Azels by the Melech. So the Torah speaks in multiple places about Ksiva Sefer Torah. Kislachem Seshir Azels, Chosav Sefer Torah. So there must have been some kind of a tradition to link the three Ksivas. There must have been some, either a formal official Gzeri Shava, or there was some other kind of a Midrash Torah Rashbam, because we don't find anywhere in Chazal, we don't think we find anywhere in Chazal, any difference between them. So whatever is true for Ksiva, well, Sirtut is Halacha Sinai, and there Taka things part ways, but even Tefillah Mezuzah is part ways there. Mezuzah needs Sirtut, Tefillah does need Sirtut. That was special Halacha Moshe Sinai. Sefer Torah is Machlokes Rashi Minatam. Right? That was back to the beginning of the semester. But in terms of Hilchos Ksiva, the dinim that are derived from Chsavta was Mesech Mesherecha, Lecher applied to all three. Okay, so now I have a pasuk that says Chsavta. And you're going to tell me, who said that's the pasuk we look at? Who said it? Okay, so I want you to tell me. So if that's the makor for the din of mukav gvil, where did you see that exactly in the pasuk? Uchsav tam, anyone daven shachar this morning yet? Hopefully everyone. Uchsav tam, al mezuzos pesecha v'yisharecha. Oh, mukav gvil. Ah, of course. How could I be so silly? I didn't see it. You want to tell me from the word of Safta, it's got to be, I don't know, it's got to be, it's got to be Ksiva Shel Kayama. Okay, maybe. You want to even tell me a story that's got to be, you have to write with your right hand, not your left hand, because the Torah speaks about normal things. Okay, you know, I'll play with you a little bit for the last 3 months, right? I can buy some of that. Why is Mukul Gvil not ready? That Sefer Torah that was sitting in that Moshav up in the north, the two letters were touching, we spoke about. It wasn't written. You know why it wasn't written? There was no din ksiva because it was not Mukav Gvil. Why not?
Coming to be
recognizable. I just read a possible. Uchsavtam. I didn't see anything more than the word Uchsavtam. Oh, but Mr. Baum's right. There's a Torah Shabbat up there. This is not just Apikoros and Stukim. There's more to the Torah than meets the eye. There's Torah Shabbat up there. Comes the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos in Perek HaBoyinah is the following comment on the phrase Uchsavtam. It doesn't say uchasafta, uchasafta, uchasaftam. It's almost like a play in the words. It's almost like a double, like a compound word. Ksiva. What's the phrase? Tema. Ksiva. Tama. What does tam mean? Whole, complete. Tamim. The ksiva has to be a ksiva tam. It's by Shabbos. It tells us quotes, right? Does it quote it? Doesn't quote the Gemara on Shabbos. Does quote they made up the Gemara Menachem. The Gemara on Shabbos says there's a din called Uchsavdom, Tan Rabbanan, Uchsavdom, Shetei Ksiva Tom. It's got to be a perfect, everything's got to be perfect. Now that is not a Luchudish Tikka Drasha. We are well aware of that Drasha in other areas. Well, who can tell me one or two other areas where we find a very, very similar pattern Drasha? The Torah says a Lashon ending with a Tuf Mem suffix, whatever it's called, prefix, suffix, whatever it's called. And we have a similar kind of a drush. It's got to be a tongue. It's got to be a whole thing, complete, total, from top to bottom. And nowhere else, you have a very similar drush. Well, kachtem, by dalam meaning, it's got to be a lekicha tama. And what that means, to be determined. Okay, we'll find out as we go along. What does that mean, ksiva tama? What is not a ksiva tama? How would you write something that's a ksiva, but nishke ksiva tama? So the Brisa goes on to say, minayin, tadarabana, ksiva tama. From here we learn Shalom Yichtov Vavin Yudin Yudin Vavin Nunin Zainin Zainin Nunin Chesin Heyin Heyin Chesin Bezin Chofin Chofin Bezin. Now we got all of them, a few of them. How do you know you can't do that? What was the common denominator of those 8 letters I just rattled off? A Vav and a Yud are really close. It's just that much ink. A little more ink, it's a Vav. A little short, less ink, it's a Yud. Zayin and Nunin. Nun Sofit and a Zayin. A little longer, it's a nun sofit. Chop shorter, it's a zayin. A hay in a ches, you put a shmitzik in between, you just turn it into a ches. A bays in a chaf, you round out the back, it's a chaf. You square off the back, it's a bays. Dal and rations are in there, right, correct. Dal and rations are in there. So how do you know you have to be careful when you write, Breishis Barolokim? I don't remember, I wrote a little long yud. Breishot Barolokim. Wow, it's a different Breishit, Breishot, it's the same thing. Or I wrote a chal, kiracious. What's the difference? Talmud Loimar? What? Talmud Loimar? Uchsavdom, shetekseven. So shtei in the Gemara. Shalotidme ois lechavrata. That's the machor. So shtei. So Mr. Alt is asking a lumdish, a loaded question. I need a drusha to tell me that. If I didn't write a base, so kiracious is not what the Kodesh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu. Bireishot is not what Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu. It's like the guy who has 7 mistakes in the word Noach, right? Are you famous joke? No? Are you writing Noach with 7 spelling mistakes? Is there a way? No, you put a nun sofit at the beginning, then you put an above, then you put an aleph, an ayin, then a ches, then a chof, and then a chof sofit. 7 mistakes. Wasn't that an old joke? It was so old. Old as Noach. Okay. Back to the story. So the Gemara says, Shlotidma is lechavrata. And the mark of that din is Ksivatama. So Mr. Alt's kasha is an unbelievable kasha. If the base really looks like a chav, so it's not the right letter. It's like it's not there. I need a pasuk to tell me that you need a letter to be there. The letter's not there. It's not sitting there. It's not
Tzvon Tzvon Tzvon. What happens if the base turned into a chav?
Okay, it's true. But right now, by Shosha, right now, if I read it and I think it says Kiracious, well, it's not there. Finished. The game's over. I don't need a pasuk. I need a gemara for that. So what's the Lashon HaGemara? Shlotidma is the chav. What does Shlotidma mean? It appears. It's not clear 100%. It can go either way. If you look at it and you stare at it long enough, you can convince yourself that it's a bays, and it may really be a bays. And I'll tell you a secret. Many people, if they look at it, will probably read it a bays, including the Bakari himself. So why is it puzzle? Because it's doimit to a chaf. It's too close for comfort. The vav and the yud, I'm looking at it, bereshis. But if I was reading it quickly, I wasn't paying attention, I'd probably read it bereshut. I maybe read it the wrong way. It's possible. If I look at it close enough and stare at it and examine it, oh yeah, it's not Bereshis. So, the Chorah, the Dinish Lotidba is the Chavrata, is not telling me that The letters are mamish, 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 pshitu kemashmo. I wrote a bay instead of a chaf. I wrote a nun instead of a zayin. I don't need a posik. I don't need a drash to teshuva pef for ksiva tom for that. Ksiva tom is to tell me that it's got to be, each letter has got to be clearly what it's supposed to be. Thank you. You were the next line. Elijah, you're perfect. You couldn't have called it out better than that. It's exactly what the Rambam says. You're not asking Akash, you get to Terence. It's exactly what the Rambam says. The Rambam writes, quoted the Gemara in Menachos. It was a funny day in Menachos. The Gemara says, I have a Vav, I can't tell. Is it a Vav? Is it a Yod? I can't look at it. I'm looking at it. I can't tell. Who do I call?
A
kid. What do I call a kid for? What do I call a kid for? What's the point of calling a kid for? Just decide, is it a Vav or is it a Yod? So the answer is, well, it's hard for me to make that call because if I read it at a certain speed, if I'm not careful, I just read it right away, I may read it wrong. If I stare at it long enough, I'll read it right. The Rambam says, you know what the Shiur is? Who remembers Reb Chaim we quoted? What's the real Shiur of Isaias? Laman Yorutz Hakoyre Boishtek. Laman Yorutz Hakoyre Boishtek. The Shiur is, you have to read it and not get mixed up. These are perfect. I would never ever make a mistake. But if it's a little sloppy, and I would start to like have to take off the glasses and look at it. Was that a vav? Was that a yid? I can't tell. So that's not Laman Yoretz HaKoribay. And that's the Chiddush of Chsaftim. It's got to be so perfect to Ksiva, it doesn't take too much deliberation. You got to read it and get it smooth. You can't have somebody who, half the time, makes a mistake on it. That's the Chiddush of Laman Yoretz HaKoribay. That's, how do you do that? So you can't call an adult and say, okay, read it quickly and tell. So Chazak would be shyer that what the amount of clarity that a gadol needs, Laman Yoretz HaKoribay, is basically what a kid who's 6 years old or so, not too smart, not too dumb, he'll tell you the same thing. It's a way of Chazal to figure out. The real Shiur is a very, very difficult Shiur to figure out. Laman Yoretz HaKoribay is, that's the Shiur HaTorah, but it's very hard to put that into practice. So Chazal made up a substitute Shiur to reach that Shiur. Where do we find it? It's published, we have that same idea in other areas of Halacha. The real Shiur is really something else, but it's very, very hard to ascertain. It's just, it's too difficult physically to do it. So Chazal came up with a corresponding Shiur. Anyone learn Chalumas?
Shishim.
That's what Shishim is. Don't you want to say that? The real Shiur is, I have a pot of potato soup with a little chaza falls. You know what the real shear is? Taste it. You taste it or not? So who's going to taste it? The Jew, the Goy, an Uman, and not an Uman. It's not so easy. Is his taste bud so up to par? Maybe he's got a cold. He can't taste. So Chazal said, you know what? It's so much easier. Shisha will accomplish the same basic goal. So Chazal made up the shear shisha pashtas. That's a pashtas shot. So he also, the real emes shear is one year. It's a curry boy, but it's very hard to put that into practice. The shear became known to us as kriyasatin, like. So there's a din of chsaftam, so a tibay is techavim. It's got to be a clear cut, easy reading, no confusion whatsoever. So comes to us and says, "I'll tell you a secret. That's the mocher for the din of osbuk efeskvil. That's the mocher book of kvil. That's the mocher of two letters are touching, negias and aisias pastels. You know why? Because if letters are touching one another, will I be able to tell one letter from the other truthfully if I look at it, stare at it? What's the din?
Yeah.
I'll probably be able to tell. It's not so bad. They're bekoshi touching." But the minute that letters are touching, it starts to get what? Starts to get sloppy. And every once in a while, if letters are touching, who's got a mark it for me? Somebody may read that word as not a word, as what? As a ches. Possible. Right? But wouldn't it be so far-fetched? Now, if you're looking really carefully, when you stare, you say, oh, obviously, It's not really a chet, because a chet is really a bad atah. You know, it's so infant. Kimon, you can really see it. You have to like take off your glasses and look under the microphone. So you would probably read it as oz. But the minute that two letters are touching, what's missing zokhtari is, this is nishwat, nishksiva what? Not nishksiva, but nishwat? Nishksiva tom. You've lost out the man yoretz hakaribu. You've lost out that shirat, that din atayra of the man yoretz hakaribu of ksiva tom. That's the mokha for mukha. We read divas gabal gazach. Because we have a din of mukha of gvil, it's a din deraisis, ferish gemarach of tasa menachas, the gemara never gives it a mokha. The only mokha we have, any din that governs us ksivas, is ksiva tom. The re just connected the dots. The reconnected the sugi, touched the sugis together. The sugya in Shabbos Kuf Gimel, the sugya in whatever Nafas Nafas in Shabbos, and the sugya in Menachas Chavtes, two different sugyas, two different mesechtes, two different worlds. Since the Rishon the real the one, it's one and the same. Therefore, that was the breakthrough of the Rishon. What's the corollary of this statement now? Because the Rishon just can finish telling us that the din of Mukha Gvil is not a din ksiva proper, it's a prod and one ksiva tama. When it comes to gittin, is there a din of ksiva tama by gittin? Don't say Saf Tomas again. It says the Chosavas again. Since there's no din of Ksiva Tama on Gittin at all, it doesn't exist. There's no such Pash of Ksiva Tama. Therefore, the Meilawa, there's no Psul of Mukha Gvil by Gittin. And therefore, the Rivam is right. The Rivam had to bring a Raya from Gemara and Ma'ura. The Rishon said, this is a bad Raya. This Raya is not going to hold its weight of a Raya. Because Ma'ura doesn't mean touching, it means in the airspace. So don't be fooled by this Gemara, says the Rishon. But Emes Labito, the Rivam is 100% right. Halach is right. Lav Rayosa is Ray is wrong. But his din is 100,000% accurate because Ksivatama makes zero sense outside the realm of Sefer Torah. That is the breakthrough of the Rishon. Everyone's good? Huya is very happy. Rashi says Mishdichsa Adamar Mesimcha goes on Nisan also. So everyone should be very, very good. Everyone's happy? Everyone cheerful? Yeah.
What would happen if the names were touched and you couldn't tell the name? Would that be okay?
The Chora, if letters are touching and it gets so bad that you can't tell what's what, your mamish can't tell, that's like Bereshit, that's like Bereshit, that's like Kereshit. That's not a word, it's not there. If it's supposed to say Rachel and the Resh and the Ches are so him, this is. Okay? If it's like this, okay? Would anyone think there's not Rachel?
No.
I mean, Lamaise and the Resh Nechas are touching, but you look at not a bad job, actually. Okay? According to Rashi. Okay, everyone would say this is pretty good, right? But what would you say as follows? What if it got a little bit more, you know, clumpy, got a little more crowded over here? All right, and let's see, this Reish. We caught something in to read that word. I can see it getting a little bit worse, right? Looks like Chazazel. I'm not sure what it is. I have no idea what it says. So, Mr. Babb, it reaches the point of deterioration that you Vamish can't read it.
I'm not talking about that, but that's it. The Lamed of Dap is touching Yosef with the Ba'al.
It's all yours.
Yosef Ben Akiva is divorcing Rachel Bas, and the Yosef of the. But he's talking about the Rivam was talking about what's touching. The Fey of the top is touching the Lamed on the bottom or something like that. That's why he's
Okay, so to me, again, I think we're both saying the same thing, that sometimes in the Gia of Osius, the Yemes is really there, we all know what it says, but it lost that Laman Yorza Koripa, a little mashal. Sometimes the Gia is so blatant that it's mamish, it's just a mishkabab a little bit. Okay? So by say, everyone's so happy. I didn't say we're so happy. How did you let me get away with this?
That's why we didn't answer before, by the way.
I told you guys a story, Roger.
I still don't understand the definition of the aura of all the way. How does it all connect?
The Re and the Rivam is the Metzias Advam. What is Mura? So according to the Rivam, the letters are touching. According to the Re, they're not touching. They're just letters going to airspace above the letters.
But letters that have nothing to do with
air. So it doesn't mean some of the letters are going to airspace. That's enough to keep it as one unit. Well, how that works, I have no idea. Okay. I don't know. You guys all forgot the story. So it's about me. You remember? As a little boy, I was playing ball. And they called me in to do what? To look at a get. I was 6 years old. No one made me put a white shirt on for the occasion. So I went to the rabbi's house. Come on, you guys remember the story. I went to the rabbi's house. I said, come on, just tell us that. What letter do you think that is? And I must have said the right answer because everyone smiled and they gave me a candy and they sent me home. So I went back to playing ball. So why did they do that? Well, what was going on there? What were they asking me exactly? Because Tosus, the Maseches Menachos, the Chof Tesla Bey says, Tosus quotes, Maisa Shehoya, where there was a get that was written and one of the letters was unclear. It was like a Yud Nadalah, the Kedas Moshe of Yisrael, the dal was a little bit small, looked like Kiyas Moshe of Yisrael or something. So Rabbeinu Eliyahu, who's Rabbeinu Eliyahu? In Paris. What? No, Tosis, of course. Rabbeinu Eliyahu. The Balei Tosis, what about Tosis? Rabbeinu Eliyahu. Rabbeinu Eliyahu from Paris. So Rabbeinu Eliyahu was called, he was the Besadrist again. So you know what Tosis says? You know what he did? What did Rabbeinu Eliyahu do? He couldn't tell whether the dal was a yud, the yud was a dal. He couldn't tell. What did he do? He called the little kid, and he asked the little kid, told his mother to put a white shirt on him, put the ball down for a minute, come across the street, and Rabbeinu Eliyahu asked him, what does it look like, little kid? And the kid said what it was, and he said, Rabbeinu Eliyahu, get all yaday. So he stayed preferish in Taisus. You understand? You have a Gemara Marachas. It's very, very dramatic. It's a beautiful story.
It shouldn't be that again. It should be an answer.
Come on, you're at the curb, boy. Maisa Shahoya. So Toys of Choftezo is Maisa Hoya beget Shahoya, Dalit Shokadas Moshe Katana Kimad Kimoyut. The Havi Rabbi Elio Yenukad Lochokam Lotipesh. The Kurboy Kadas. The Shiro Mahakhtish Maisin. Can you imagine who this kid was? We'll never know. Who was a little kid? It could have been a Baltosis. We have no idea. Maybe it was Rebbeinu Tam. I have no idea who it was. I guess it's probably not Rebbeinu Tam. Okay, good, Mr. Alter. Well said. Okay. So, bottom line is that, and by doing so, you insulted me because I was also. But I will take it in stride. Probably okay.
You're supposed to ask an 8-year-old, you're only 6.
Oh, so smart, okay. I can tell you one thing, I did not know Aleph Beis. I knew Aleph Bet, but I did not know Aleph Beis. Okay. So I don't understand, Tosis. This trick, this stunt, this shear of asking your kid, this is a shear of what? This is a Ksiva Tomatika shear. This is to tell differences of nuances among Yoritz HaKaribay. This is to determine to discern between different letters. You see from Taisus that the din of what? Of Ksiva Tama applies also to what?
To get
also. The whole thrust of the Taisus here is to say, there's no din of Ksiva Tama, I can't leave me alone. Book of Gil is the din of Ksiva Tama, and it doesn't say Ksiva Tama. So if that's true, then the whole din of Shlatidra is the Chavita shouldn't exist. But again, if the letter is a total mushkababo, like you can't tell what it is. I don't need Ksiva Tama. It's not Ksiva Bechlal. But clearly that wasn't the story. Rabbeinu Eliyahu wasn't looking at a blob of ink. He was looking at a dollar and a yud. Looking at a dollar and a yud. He couldn't tell. So he brought in the kid. That shiur, that mahalach, bring your kid into the get that's practiced. That's a ksiva tava to gedid. So there isn't a ksiva tava by gedid. I, where to come from, I don't know. Learned that from Sefer, I have no idea. So l'chora, isn't this Tosus and the Chof's presentation of the Ri at odds with that Tosus? Maybe it is, maybe it's a machlokes. Or is there a way to be yashiv the two? That's been bothering me. The kash has been bothering me for years. Decades, the kash has been bothering me.
Can't we say one shear can be used for two different things?
What
like
does
it mean? Like we talked about, like writing letters, like one letter, like the shear of two letters can be viewed from the aspect of writing that one shear, but also like the mashlin.
Right, so I have one kash in it. And yet, are there differences in get and Sefer Torah? Maybe. I have one simple kash. I just want to know. All the dinim derived from Sefer Torah, do they carry over to get or not? That's my only question. So the Ri emphatically here says they don't carry over, and that's why Mukhav Drill is not a problem. If that's the case, so what about the other din of Sefer Torah? Aish lo tidma is techavata. So there, Tosfos Menachos says it does carry over to get. So just be consistent. I don't care. Is it a stira? Who here realized right away, once I read this Ri, even if you never heard the Tosfos Menachos, but you do remember the story, so there's a steer from my story to the Tosfos. My story is just Rebbe Elio, 800 years later. Aren't these two didim contradict one another? Just be consistent, just make up your mind. I don't care whatever you want to say. I don't mind either way. I'm very easy to please. You want to tell me, is it a Ksiva Tava? Good. Nish. Either way. You can't have both. That's as bad as what? Put a glue in your tefillin. That's almost as bad as Davi Mincha, 7 o'clock. Almost, not quite. That's like the worst. This is like the get either she isn't just done, but Mincha and Friday is doing 7 o'clock. What are you crazy? That's like the Herba Yabba, yeah. Just kidding.
Guys. This is one letter. So it's not even Nikri at all. It's a Dalit or it's a Yud. The other ones were combining the two letters together.
No, okay, but again, but I thought you would jump at like a tangential question and say, so it doesn't say Kiyas Moshe Yisrael. So what do you do? Like who cares? So it says Kiyas Moshe Yisrael. Okay. So does that really detract from the whole get? I'm not even sure that the apostles get all together. So Rabbi Say, I'm still stuck with this cash. It's been bothering me for years, this cash. So I'll tell you where I think the answer to this cash lies. Not in Maseches Gittin, not in Maseches Menachos, not in Maseches Shabbos. It actually lies in the Tosfos and Maseches Sukkah. What would it be doing in Sukkah of all places? I dropped a hint, you know. A good author drops little hints along the way. What? Remember I started about a half hour ago, I asked you, where else do we find the din of Tama? So you thought I just asked a question just because I wanted to stall, I needed another 2-3 minutes, I think of the next thing I was going to say, right? You thought it was just I wanted to just share a little bikias. That why? No. It was there, very, very, very important. I dropped that hint for a very, very real reason. Nobody picked up on it. If we have these halachas of Tama, in this area of halacha, another halacha, there's a theme, Dini HaTorah themes. I think we've said this more than once in the last 10 minutes. Dini HaTorah themes. And you can very often extrapolate one theme from another if you understand what's the nature of these kinds of halachas. There's Lekicha and there's Lekicha Tama. There's Ksiva and there's Ksiva Tama. So perhaps, Divrei Torah, Adiv Makach, Mashir Makam Acher, we could find out a little bit about what Ksiva Tama is or is not, and ultimately why should or should not be loved to get in by learning together Sugya and Masechus Sukkah. So of course I didn't put it on the Ma'amakomos, right? So we'll have to, I didn't put it on. Okay. So we'll have to just a little Teshuva Peh. I'll share with you a little bit about Lekicha Tama. Anybody knows what din would derive from Lekicha Tama? So anyone know what the Gemara says about Lekicha Tama? Gemara and Sukkah. It happens to also be Menachos, believe it or not, in a totally different context. But it's a Gemara and Sukkah in the third path. Tana Rabbana, Ulkachtem, Lachem, Lekicha Tama. That you require, what? All four minim, the ma'akiv each other. It's very tricky. Whenever the Torah gives us a mitzvah with multiple components to it, you never really know, are the two components absolutely critical to one another and the absence of one disqualifies the entire mitzvah? Well, do I say, no, this is the tzuras ha-mitzvah l'chadchila, but if for whatever reason I can get one without the other, so I'll do one without the other. So it's always tricky. What's a good example? What's the perfect example of a mitzvah where the Torah gives us multiple components to it and we're not 100% sure, or the Tanaim weren't sure, we're pretty sure, but the Tanaim weren't sure whether the tzuras ha-mitzvah requires both Or it should have both if you can, but if you can't, so then one is also a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo. Famous example is? The most famous example of what, it's a mitzvah that could have gone either way, and actually machloket tzitzis. Tzitzis. Torah speaks about hakanaf psil techeles, but on the other hand, the Torah speaks about al tzitzis hakanaf. So the verse says, what does hakanaf mean? Min kanaf. That the Torah speaks in the same breath about two different color strings. One is min kanaf. Most garments are whitish, means regular wool or linen. Those are usually white colored garments, pretty much, you know, uncolored garments. So when the Torah says, Rasnu al tzitzis hakanaf, so the Torah speaks about tzitzis hakanaf, the string coming out of the kanaf. So the Gemara explains, the Tashma explains, that means it's the same color as the garment. The garment is white, so the string is white. It's an undyed string. And what does the Torah say? Rasnu al tzitzis hakanaf, tzil tcheles. Then you take another string of tcheles, either one, two, half, whatever you think the shear is, whatever the different sheet is, and combine those two factors, you min kanaf, together with psil tcheles, and that's the true mitzvah of tzitzis. So the Gemara has a very, very real shaila in Masechet Menachot, beginning of the fourth parak. Should we understand the relationship between the two as ba'akev? This is one tzuras mitzvah, and if you have one without the other, you're wasting your time. Not only you're wasting your time, you're actually doing a problem because you're wearing a beged, which is chayef, and you're not doing the mitzvah. It would be better not to wear it altogether. Or do I say no? That the Torah is telling me that the mitzvah b'shlei musa is a kanaf psil techeles, both together. But if for whatever reason you don't have white, you don't have blue, so whichever one you do is also considered to be a mitzvah b'fidei atzma. So that was Mechleikes HaTorah, Mechleikes Rebbe and the Rabbanon. And the Mechleikes HaRishayim, between who and who? Between the Balamor and the rest of the world. The Balamor's opinion was that we should follow the view that techeles is ba'akev. He felt that was the Maskansa Gemara, techeles is ba'akev. And all the other Rishonim said it's not true, techeles is not ba'akev. If you follow the view of the Balamor, what logical conclusion must you come to? If you don't have techeles, then you should not wear tzitzis bechlal, because wearing, putting on a four-cornered garment without kosher tzitzis is a bitul mitzvah. So you have nothing to gain, everything to lose. You're much safer, just don't do anything. It's an aver, it's an issa deraisa to put on a four-cornered beged with just white strings according to the Balamor, because it's much possible with deraisa. According to all the other Rishonim, Shulchan Aruch, the Balamor is not even mentioned, so we pass it aloch against that, we pass it. They know that each one is a mitzvah for the atzbah, and each one is not ma'akev, not ma'akev one another. Fine. Not literally mitzvah for the answer, but each one is not ma'akev. Fine. What did the Balamor do? The Mamish never wore tzitzis. What's the answer? No, he had tzitzis. What did he do? He never wore tzitzis. How do I know this? I know this for a fact. The Ramban told us. Ramban says, "Heidu alav al ben Ezrachi Alevi shlo lavash tzitzis miyamav." He never wore tzitzis. He never wore talis kotel. Never wore talis gadol. And never wore a talus, never put on a pair of tzitzis. She'll love us tzitzis b'yamav, because he held it was a bit of a tzitzis. That's why I always say, you know, they have these kids, they pester them in camp, they kids them in school, tzitzis chat, leave the kid alone, he's only the Balamor, what do you want? You throw the Balamor out of camp if he doesn't wear tzitzis, come on. Who is chayshish for the Balamor? Almost nobody. Who is chayshish for the Balamor today? Not really, what? The brisk is a job. Because the Gemara says that if you have a pair of tzitzis that's puzzle, that's carrying. So the tzitzis, the strings are not really a beggar. The strings are bottled to the beggar because they're serving a purpose. But if they're not serving a purpose, so then it's like carrying on Shabbos. So the brisk is b'cheshev, chayim is cheshesh, that even though we don't feel like follow the Balamor, but legabe, this is skila, it's sort of carrying on Shabbos, which would be cheshesh on the Balamor. So it's better not to wear tzitzis outside. You can wear your talis in shul, you can wear your tzitzis in the house, but you can't walk that. So if you go to brisk today, so you will notice that those who follow the anhagis of Reb Chaim, so they take off their talis kotel and shul, if they don't put it on, they take off the talis kotel, they will never ever walk outside wearing a pair of tzitzis b'zman hazeh, because two things. Number one, the chayshu b'alamor and Shabbos, and they hold all the air of it and no good, and the Rambam, and the Mela, you can't carry, you can't wear a tzitzis without, you can wear a talis without the kosher tzitzis on. Unless they would hold tchelis, but the brisk is not holding tchelis anyway, because they hold the Beis HaLevi that the tchelis is not tchelis today, so whatever, it's another story, another time. Okay, fine. So, here the Gemara says in Maseches Sukkah, how do you know that the Dal and Minim are mamish one unit? Let's say a guy has, he's got an Esrog, he spent $300 on an Esrog, he spent $150 on his Deri Lulu, He spent $250 on his hadassim, aleph, aleph, aleph plus, and then next year will be a few more pluses to it. Vastish, what the chumras are next year over last year. I know it's another aleph and another $20. So whatever it is, so he's got the most, he said $550 on his dalaminim. And what couldn't he find? He can't get the Muncia Rovis. He can't, no matter where he goes, give it. My son told me that he was walking around the Beis Yisrael and Erev Sukkos, and he noticed there was a stand selling Muncia Arabis. The guy brought him in 4,000 Arabis for Muncia, and he's undercutting the guys in Yerushalayim selling Muncia Arabis. Okay, fine. So he doesn't have Arabis. So what do you tell this guy? He's got a lulav esrog hadassim. What do you tell him? So the Gemara says, you're wasting your time. $700 down the drain. You're not Yetzir Kihuz Yagornish from Gornish from Gornish. You're not Yetzir Bitzibachal. Should you do it as a Zeicher? Maybe yeah, maybe no, we're not sure. But you're not Yetzir Kihuz Yah without the Arabis. How do you know that? We'll count them. It's got to be a perfect Lakicha, and if you're missing one of the medium, that's called Nal Kicha Toma, it's Ma'akim to the other. That is the only application of Lakicha Toma that appears in Chazal. Comes Tosis in the beginning of the third paragraph of Masechta Sukkah and guesses another application. Doesn't say in the Chazal anywhere. Tosis guess. There happens to be a sugya called an Esrog HaChoser. The most of the favorish that if you have an Esrog that's missing a little bit of the Esrog got scratched off, that got bitten into, a little part of the Esrog is missing. The Esrog is possible in that. No question about Esrog HaChoser. Mishnah says it's possible. It says Tosis, but not a meaning. Where did that didn't come from? So you won't believe it. You know what Tosis says? If it's not a full, complete esrog, you know what it's not? Not l'kicha tamo. What did Tosfos just do? Tosfos just made an unbelievable jump. What did Tosfos just do? They said tamo doesn't only apply to what? To the all four together. That's the way the Gemara took tamo. Tosfos says that the word tamo also applies to what? Each individual one. The esrog has to be tam. And if it's someone took a bite out of it, nishkan tam. How, what forced Tosis to do that? Because the Mishnah says it's possible. Menonimil doesn't say anything about what the Malkor is. Tosis said it's self-evident. It's self-explanatory. It's possible because of Tom. So Tosis, if you put together the Gemara, Chazal, and Tosis, you come up with the following. There are two halachas of Tom. There's Tom as relates to taking all four, and there's Tom as relates to each unit, to each one of the four of the unit. They're both true Menatar. Are those dinim identical in nature? What is the nature of those two halachas? Are they exact same application of Tamar? Or are they slightly nuanced difference? It's very hard to tell because the Gemara doesn't talk about the second one. Tosis made it up. Other Rishonim say that fine in the Mokav Eskech also. So basically we have a lot of work to do hopefully tomorrow Mitzvah in Hilchus Lulav. Very timely topic right now. Chavish also. So hopefully we'll learn a little bit more about it with Lulav tomorrow. And then eventually circle back to our Tosis. Then try to put the final touches on the sugya of Lashrikha de Ba'ura and we'll kind of wrap it up for the live part of Azman. Hopefully next week, I think Sunday, Monday, we have a little zooming or something. We'll, right, is that the plan? We'll figure it out. Let's see how the Bible finishes this.